Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have to say what I feel. Miami has so much appeal. A great place to get a seafood meal. Miami. Miami, Miami.
Picture it, Los Angeles, 2017. Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you will ever need to listen to. I'm H. Allen Scott, and Carrie Doherty is not here because she is sick. But as you guys know, that this is a podcast where we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we talk about it. And because Carrie is sick, I'm holding the Golden Torch solo, and I feel okay about it. I mean, I miss Carrie and all, but I'm also like, yo, I don't want to be all coughing and sneezing all over the place this week and then have to be bitter because you gave it to me, because I know who gave it to me, so I'm just going to, like, let you stay in your golden home. But we do have two very special guests to join us to talk about, join me, to talk about an illegitimate concern. And it originally aired on February 12th, 1990. I'm not used to doing Carrie's job, guys. So, like, it's very strange to, like, give you dates and names and things. Like, I'm the freewheeling one who's probably usually either intoxicated or high whenever we do these things.
You're
guys,
doing real well, H.L.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to introduce the guests. Here we go. Okay, Carrie would have been very angry at me for not doing this in a more professional manner. So I'm just going to say it. Guys, I am so glad to have couple here. A beautiful couple that I know very well, and I've been friends with one of them for a very long time, and I'm so happy. Naomi Ekperigin and Andy Beckerman.
Hello!
Hey. Now, you guys are in town from New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah!
The Big Apple itself.
The Big Apple.
Jew Central.
We just did an episode there not too long ago where I got kicked out of the Golden Girls Cafe, and you guys saw me right after I got kicked out of the Golden Girls.
Yes,
Rue la Rue.
You seemed, I mean, you were professional, but I could tell you were shaken.
I was shaken, yeah. I was having a moment where I remember I walked into a good friend of ours' house, Michelle Buteau, amazing comedian. You guys need to check her out. And I walked in and I was like, I just need a meatball and a glass of wine. I just need a meatball. Because it was a meatball party. Yes.
Right, that's why he needed the meatball.
You weren't walking into the house
just crave meatballs.
Where's the meatballs?
I do sometimes do that.
Yeah.
Like a walk in, like, give me a meatball.
You know, is that your catchphrase your sitcom?
Well, it's like on today's episode that strudel was Rose's word for her and Charlie for sex.
Yeah,
right.
Meatball might be mine.
That for could be sex. Fun.
What if?
That could be fun.
I think so.
I feel like with the word, I mean, ball is in it, so it's not as subtle as strudel.
Yeah,
true. I'm just going to put that out there.
True.
I would go spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Yeah.
Ooh, you want some of my noodles? how are my noodles?
Rick, I ain't giving you no spaghetti today.
Wait, is my boyfriend named Rick now?
Sure.
Okay. I have a new
boyfriend, and his name is Rick.
I've never dated a Rick. I could do a Rick.
Rick's my standard name for just a dude.
Really? Fred is mine.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I tend
Fred
to go
is
for
like
Fred.
Old school.
Nice. Yeah, it is in a way, but it's also like, drop dead, Fred!
Oh, what a great film.
What a great movie.
What a good time. Oh. Phoebe Cates, where are you now?
So, okay, since we kind of bounce back and forth between having guests sometimes and not having guests, I want to know what you guys' history with the Golden Girls is.
Oh.
And if you watched it with your grandma, don't even talk about it because everyone watched it with their grandma.
Not me.
Not me. My grandmother wasn't about it.
Really?
My grandmother might have passed away sometime. No, she was still kicking by the time Golden
when
Girls
it
was
on.
Yeah.
I was like, you weren't sure if she was alive or not currently. And I was a little concerned.
She's a Schrodinger's grandma, so I don't know whether she's alive or dead. Saturday nights. It was this Empty Nest.
Yes.
So my parents would always go out on Saturday nights and leave me with a babysitter. So I would play Mario Brothers.
Were doing cocaine.
If you knew Marty and Norma, you would the most
non-cocaine people.
Like Norma's actually kind of, I was saying just now, it's like Dorothy kind of reminds me of his mom.
Oh, interesting.
Like that very like dry queen of the side eye.
Nice.
Like over it.
Wow.
So she's
that
like
is Norma to a T.
Yeah.
She's a B. Norma to a B.
Okay.
What about you, Naomi?
Cool. Me? Okay, I saw it in reruns.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like
so
reruns.
You weren't an original era person.
No. It came out like when I was a little bit older and it was on and I would just kind of like flip through and I remember just thinking they were so weird and loving Rose the most.
Oh, really? See, yeah, Rose was my favorite as a kid too.
When I was younger, and now I'm all about Dorothy.
Oh, interesting.
But I thought Rose was like,
it's kind of like
so dumb and so hilarious.
Yeah, she was in it. But see, I don't see her as dumb. I see her as sort of like lovingly naive. You know what I mean? She's very literal in everything she does. And I can relate to that because as am I. I'm very, you tell me something and I will believe it. If it's not, if you deliver it,
right,
like seriously, I will believe you.
Can I say something? When I was young, I was a Blanche. I was a prude.
Yeah.
At my bar mitzvah, I said that the band could not play Madonna because I found her to be scandalous. So Blanche to me was always.
Wait, as a 13-year-old, you were like, I don't agree with Madonna's sexual positivity. Please don't play her.
Yes. Well, no, it wasn't that. I didn't phrase it like that.
We're at a bar mitzvah? Like Madonna?
Yeah, they did.
At a little straight boys
me.
Bar mitzvah?
Yeah. They played Material Girl or something. I don't know. Papa
like
don't
a
preach.
Prayer.
I don't
mitzvah.
Know.
Papa don't preach at a bar mitzvah. I truly.
They played something, but I just remember Vogue. I don't remember what it was. I just remember her being like, I was like, no one could perform their sexuality in public.
Interesting.
And so Blanche to me was always the most, I was like, what is she doing? Why is she so sexy?
But now you appreciate it.
I appreciate that she is like out there with her sexuality.
Yeah.
That she is not letting age or like society's kind of way that they put older women in a little pen and say they, post-menopause, you ain't allowed to have sex.
Nope.
I appreciated that she was.
You literally just made so many straight women wet. You're just like, this straight man just dropping those truth bombs.
Honey.
That's on brand for me.
He's V-woke. Yeah. He's V-woke.
V-woke.
You
V-woke.
Know? If it ain't woke, don't try to fix it. You know? That's what I said.
Okay, should we get started with the episode?
Yeah, woo! Let's do
there's
it.
So many
a
things
true
to
journey.
Talk about. There's
a true
so many
journey.
It really was. I mean, it was an emotional journey
it
for
was.
These characters. Well, Blanche mainly.
Blanche,
because
yeah.
This is the episode where, this episode, like, technically it is about Blanche and a man that comes in saying that he is the son of her, you know, dead husband, George. Whereas what I think most people remember this episode for, let's be real, is it's the episode where Sophia and Dorothy dress up as Sonny and Cher.
Mm, right.
Like, that's really what it's about.
Right.
Let's be real. But there's a whole episode, and we must get to it. So, Dorothy, we enter into the kitchen. Dorothy is sitting there at the table. Sophia comes up.
Said.
Stage.
Interior. Golden Girls Kitchen.
Interior.
Day.
Oh,
day.
But this was the crazy thing, which is like watching this. I haven't seen an episode in a long time, and I'm amazed at it just brought all these memories back about the 80s and how you could have an establishing shot. You showed the executive producer and you know, you had all the credits coming up. And they just
doesn't really exist anymore.
They let it kind of breathe a little bit.
Because now they're just like, we need to get all the time we can because there's so many ad commercials.
Exactly,
yeah.
So now the show is like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like also short.
Oh.
But
everything's an Adult Swim show these days.
Yes.
These are the good old days.
I know, that when you could actually do things on TV.
Yeah, but it could breathe and you had this almost kind of like, it was very theatrical almost the way that it started.
Oh, well, it's very theatrical.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the best
God.
Play I've ever seen. I mean, we'll get into the Tennessee Williams elements of it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, we open in the kitchen.
Dorothy has a very theatrical line in it. So Dorothy is sitting there at the kitchen. Sophia comes in and pays her a compliment. Sophia's trying to butter Dorothy up. Why? Because it is the Shady Pines mother-daughter pageant.
There's the phrase Shady Pines is
on my scruff. Scruff is like
I'm
an
aware.
App. You're aware.
I know.
I mean, you never know. You never know.
That's sweet of you. It's like,
Shady
okay.
Pines is my name on there. And I say, like, if you get it, like, you get points.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they should,
you'd
like,
be amazed at how many people don't get it. And then people, I had someone today message me being like, I then said what the reference was for, and then he was like, oh, you know, I hate to admit this, but I've never seen an episode. And like, so many people do that to me. So many people want to tell me that they've never seen The Golden Girls. And like, this is a joke, but like, it's true too. Like, I don't like judge, I don't say like, oh, I've never worn ugly Old Navy like you, but like, like, I don't put that out into the world. Like, I just sort of accept and be like, oh, you're a fan of The Golden Girls. Great. I don't need to tell you how inadequate I am. You know? Yeah, I can't with these people.
By the way,
it happens.
Weird Al doing a parody of the Pavement song "Shady Lane,"
oh,
about the Golden Girls.
Really,
called Shady Pines. I know. I'm saying, I'm pitching this.
Oh, you're pitching it.
We're in Hollywood right now. We're here in LA. Hey, Chillin.
Oh,
we gotta have a pipeline of Weird Al. Get this going.
BP. Always be
Shady
pitching.
Shady Pines. Everybody wants one.
I just saw him on some celebrity name game show, so maybe we can catch him there. He's very busy these days.
Let's catch him.
But Dorothy is not feeling it, and Sophia's like, I have to beat Gladys Goldfine. Like, I have to. Like, she's pushing it. She's pushing it hard. And
only she knew that Gladys Goldfine's family were survivors.
I know.
Maybe she wouldn't be so adamant. Like, give her a victory.
Gladys Goldfine was a survivor.
I'm surprised.
Not her family.
I'm surprised. But like, they never had, like, a Holocaust joke on this episode where they're like, so she had a bad time in Germany, didn't we all? You know what I mean?
Save it for the spec script.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, that's a good one.
I like it.
No, Gigi reboot.
She tries to, like, you know, butter Dorothy up by using sympathy, being like, I just need to feel alive again. I feel so old. I mean,
what do I left?
I need to be not always reminded that I'm trying to stay awake on the John. You know what I mean?
Like, if I'm on the John,
yes.
You know,
yeah. It was a classic rule of threes
yes.
joke.
Well,
these joke writers on point for this
perfect
episode.
Comedy. I mean, that's never been the question.
So Dorothy relents. Dorothy eventually gives into it and says, "Fine."
What do you think the character motivation is behind that? Do you think she really like? Do you think in her mind she's like, kind of, you know, it might be fun to actually do this. It would be nice for my mom, but also, like, I wonder if it would be fun.
No, I don't think she
maybe
thinks
there's
it's
like
fun
a secret
all.
Part of her.
She's literally thinking, like, this is going to make Sophia happy, and she is feeling like she's old, and that's something that Dorothy doesn't want her mother to feel like. So I really do think it's genuine. Her motives behind this.
It's just empathy.
It's just
there's nothing. So there's nothing in her where she's like, might be kind of.
No, I think it's all like empathy.
Because she
all
jumps
just
into that share impression.
Yeah.
She really, like, commits.
Yeah, oh, I can't wait for that moment. When we talk about that, so good. So they go
We're going in order.
I like it. I'm down with it, guys. I do this all the time too. I'm always jumping ahead way too far. So we go into the living room
podcast.
And Rose is wearing a onesie.
Okay.
I can't tell if it's a onesie or
no.
Is it a onesie?
It's also like, it's like an orange
it's onesie.
It's like a I was going to say rust.
Oh, rust.
Okay. It's like
rust.
A little rust coppery colored.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the waist on her.
That damn thing was just like six inches.
Ugh. And I was like, oh, I'm like jealous of this grandma's body.
Yes.
I was legit jealous of the figures I was watching the last half hour.
So the doorbell rings. And a young man is at the door. And so
denim right up to his nipples.
Blanche is the one. I think
so he came to the door.
Yeah, I thought they were overalls for a second.
The pants were
really
so
were.
High.
Right. So I'm like, so that's high. The first red flag.
Yes. Moose knuckle.
I thought he was like fishing. I thought he was going out fishing. That's how high they were. Does that make sense?
And Blanche is the one who answers the door.
Right.
And Blanche you know, he comes in and he basically says he's looking for George Devereaux, Blanche's deceased husband.
Well, no, it wasn't Blanche who answers the door.
It's Sophia. Oh, you're right.
Because then he's like, hold on a second. And then she turns around and is like, and then realizes, and she turns around and goes, he's dead. Which I just love the moment where she's like, okay, because I get that. Where you're like, sure. Like, you just want to say yes. And you're like, wait.
And then she thinks about it and she's like, oh, yeah, he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah,
he's dead.
I forgot
I'm sorry.
About that moment. Yeah. No, and then he says he's selling, like,
Encyclopedias. Because that sets off a whole thing about encyclopedias and St. Olaf.
Which is just ridiculous because
the wackest cover. It was like, you clearly don't know how to not seem creepy.
Yeah.
That's the most random thing. You could have
I'm selling knives. Any of you ladies want to buy a knife?
Well, and Dorothy calls it out.
I'll put the knife in you.
Just keep breathing.
Close the door, Blanche.
Blanche doesn't think anything of it. Blanche just thinks he's like cute and young and whatever.
Like, how are we surprised that Blanche was never like the start of a damn SVU episode? Because she will trust a man. You know what I'm saying? Any old man. She's like, he fine. Why don't we follow him to the alley? It's like, Blanche, girl, how have you survived this long with that thirst clouding your vision?
She's got a thirst. So Dorothy calls it out, saying like, oh, that was weird. That why didn't he try to sell them any encyclopedias?
Right.
And then that goes into a Rose story where Rose is like, talks about who was selling encyclopedias in her town? I don't think anyone in particular.
It wasn't a person.
Just the way they sold it.
They sold them. They carried around two whole volumes.
Yes.
Worth. Right.
Yes.
She's like, why would they be carrying 52?
Yeah. And then Dorothy, rightfully so, asks, why don't they just carry like 13 on each arm?
Right.
That way it evens out. And then literally Rose is like, I have to make a phone call, and like just gets up.
That's where I'm like, who is she calling?
She's probably
hello,
calling
St. Olaf Encyclopedia
the mayor.
Warehouse.
The mayor. It's probably been the same mayor for a long
Why
ass
does the
time.
But how does the mayor have any control over the commerce? Is it a socialist? Is St. Olaf a socialist city? She calls the mayor, and the mayor's like, oh, I'll get right on it. We've been selling encyclopedias.
The mayor's probably also the encyclopedia salesman.
You know, I always imagine St. Olaf as whenever she says, I imagine the town from the Smurfs. Oh. Does anyone else? Does it feel like St. Olaf is like
I
want to
know, have they ever, you know more about this than I do, have they ever actually talked about who the St. Olaf was?
No,
they've
no.
never actually
least,
delved into
I don't
into
believe
like,
so. I mean, now I get a lot of things wrong, so I'm going to put that to our listeners, fans out there, if you guys know if they've ever talked about it. I don't believe they have.
Was he like crucified for being a dummy?
Maybe.
Like, was that?
No, he probably was crucified for like being lactose intolerant.
You know what I mean? Or they got the wrong guy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yes, yes. And then we found out that David wasn't actually lactose intolerant. It was his brother who was the real saint, David Olaf. It's always
David
too many Davids.
So
it's the next day. They're in the kitchen, and they're all kind of sitting around, and Blanche walks in.
Looking.
She is excited about being stalked because that David man ran.
She saw him in the grocery store, and he was undressing her with his eyes.
She's wearing, this is her blue and gold.
She was wearing a classic Meshach Taylor outfit.
No, this wasn't blue and gold. Yeah, this was the Meshach
Taylor.
This
is her Meshach Taylor. It was the orange, long silk jacket with some sort of animal print.
Yes.
Almost halter, okay? And then by the way,
high-waisted
gold pant. What?
We should say this is mannequin Meshach Taylor, not designing women Meshach Taylor,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm talking mannequin on the move Meshach.
I have a feeling, I'm getting this sort of just like a vibe here, but I have a feeling that maybe my golden co-host from afar who is sick, Carrie, has something to say about this David stalking moment. So let's just give Carrie a moment.
Hey guys, hey Jalen, it's Carrie. I'm so bummed that I was not there with you today to record the episode, but I watched it and I do have some thoughts. I want to talk about David for a second. David, great actor, Mark Moses. He did such a great job, but his plan, he had all this time. He was coming from Dallas. He had all this time to think up like a good game plan to try to get to know Blanche. And the game plan that he comes up with is just to go to the door and be like, hello, I'm selling encyclopedias. Your husband's name was at the top of my list of leads. Like, in what world do encyclopedia, like, when he's not a cop, he's not a detective, like, who gets a lead as an encyclopedia salesman? He just, like, I don't know, I just thought that was, like, the worst plan that somebody could have come up with. And I also found it funny that Blanche in no way was, like, perturbed or concerned at the fact that he was, like, clearly a stalker. Like, she was so blasé about it. He comes to her door. He knows where she lives. He's following at the grocery store. She even calls it a fatal attraction. And yet, she's like, oh, I'm so charmed. Like, she's not even pissed about it. I would have been terrified if I thought that a man was following me around. But anyway, I do love this storyline. The last thing I want to say, because I'm sure you guys are going to talk in great detail about the story, but I did have to point out how crappy I thought David's plan was. Last thing, Blanche's grandson's name is also David. And now this guy's name is David. Like, the writers couldn't come up with any other name. Like, now you have two guys who played just David on the Golden Girls. Like, their IMDb pages must be very confusing. Those are sort of my thoughts about that story. I know you guys will get into all the good stuff, but those were sort of my two things that I took issue with. Yeah.
That was great. That was great.
It's true. Beautiful. That was real.
Yeah. She like came in. I mean, even in her illness.
I know. You know? Carrie.
Even in her illness, she was on it. She was on point.
I got to ask.
She'll be back, I'm sure.
Now, the rumor is that she's become an anti-vaxxer and she got smallpox. Is that true?
That's true.
God, Carrie's got smallpox.
Yeah. Carrie actually is going to be what saves America because it's going to take out all the bad ones.
Oh, so she's like a stealth. Yeah. She became an anti-vaxxer.
She's the Gwyneth Paltrow from that movie where the epidemic took everyone's life. Oh, remember that one?
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow was like, what's it
Sliding
called?
Doors.
No. Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah, right.
That's it. Okay, so we're in the kitchen, and Dorothy, or Blanche, thinks that she's being stalked by this man, and Dorothy is really concerned. Dorothy says that he's creepy, this is weird, like we don't know much about.
If that's true, it's not a good thing.
It's
this
not
is what I mean.
A
like,
good
Blanche, this is not good just because a man looked at you.
Yes, exactly. So they go to Rose, and they ask Rose, what do you think? And Rose takes a beat, and she literally says, a sex-crazed psycho with a granny complex. And it's like, it is like one of the best Rose lines ever. And then she like takes another pause and she's like, sorry, Blanche, I gotta call him like I see him.
Which was to me, it was almost like not even Rose. Like, no. It was hilarious, but I was like, Rose, I'm into this
but
version
of those are the best
you.
Rose moments.
Well, do you know what it is? It's like, they'll let her be dumb. It's like the person, you know, it's a device that's used in a lot of scripts where, like, they'll give a person, like, a lucid moment.
Right, mm-hmm.
Or someone who's quiet the entire time.
Yes.
Like a silent Bob.
Yes.
She's a silent Bob, right? He's quiet the entire time, and then he gives one little bit of knowledge at
right,
the end.
Right,
and, like,
right,
changes the arc of the protagonist. Right.
Yes.
And that's, that's Rose, right? Dumb St. Olaf story. Then
truth
it's a psycho
bomb.
With a granny complex.
Then a truth bomb.
Yeah,
exactly.
Truth bomb.
And you're like,
how do they, I forget how they get into the living room, but they get in the living room. David comes over to make the confession.
Again.
And
I believe it might even be the next day.
Yeah. And then, but isn't she wearing the same outfit Blanche is wearing? I think it's the same.
You're right. You're right. Because I remember it was like really hard for me to stay with her anger in her outfit.
Yes.
Like I was like, I can't really care right now because you're like
because your outfit is
it's like
so
a lot.
Designing
it's like
woman
a lot. I can't
but
it's a sugar baker outfit, right?
It's a sugar baker outfit. So he comes over to essentially confess that this is the story that George is his father and that George had an affair at some point. And
can we talk for a second, by the way, about just how serious the actual story is?
I
was trying to think of like a comparable this seems typical, if I remember correctly, about the Golden Girls, where they would have serious topics.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, a lot of times in the 80s, it was like, you would have to wait for the special episode.
Yeah, no.
For the,
yeah.
You know, the, like,
the Golden Girls
Gary
threw
Coleman
it in.
Getting,
it was real, yeah.
Gary Coleman getting molested episode, or, like, what, you know, there was one special episode. And then everyone else was just goofy, like, hi, I'm...
Great. Keep going.
Different strokes.
I love it.
Stub my toe.
Yeah.
There's your A plot.
Yep, stub toe. I'm into that.
Hi, this is my Mr. Drummond impression. Everyone thought, that's on you. Everyone thought that was Gary Coleman. Everyone thought that. No.
So Blanche is clearly devastated.
I mean, what the best moment is too, because again, we always see Blanche and she's always just like fucking clickety clack, clack, clacking in her heels, clickety clack, clack, clack. And then he's like, and like, it's crazy how much he gives. It's not just like, oh no, that's my father. Like, he not only did your husband cheat, he like maintained our lifestyle.
Yeah.
He was lying to you, not just the one time. He knew what he did and kept giving me money throughout
life. I have to say, even though he lied, that is a fucking noble thing to do to make like that. He could have just not paid for that kid.
Well, he was a Southern gentleman.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. But Blanche's reaction to it, this is what I love about
amazing,
Blanche.
Though.
The
it was
best.
Like, it was so real.
Is that Blanche has these moments of sort of like depth to her character that all of a sudden she's like super serious and she like she can turn really quickly and make it almost an emotional moment.
Yeah.
And she did that in this case.
Well,
scene.
Especially because, you know, she's like,
get out of my house.
Get out.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh my God.
I did not hear what you said. Get out of my house.
Get out.
Which, you know? I mean, how often do you I mean, I've definitely had that reaction before where someone tells me something, and I even had, like, you know, just the other day, some guy bailed on me. It was a very, like, intense rejection for a hookup. It was, like, one of these moments. But it was, and I texted some friends, and they were all like, yeah, fuck him. And they kept asking questions about him, and I had to be like, what is going on outside? Do you hear that?
I do. It might just be...
Oh, wait. Here. Oh, it's someone's vacuuming. That's what I hear.
Oh, is it a vacuum? Oh, I thought it was a lawnmower.
It was your landlord reliving Vietnam.
Oh. Guys, I have a very intense landlord. Anyway, they have, like, she has this moment where it's just so incredibly serious. Mm-hmm. I think I'm always impressed by Blanche. Always.
Well, they are all very good at turning on a dime.
Yes.
You know, the same way Rose was just like, what?
Yeah.
He cried.
Yeah.
And then he just... Like, yeah.
The whole dynamic is amazing watching this, which is like one person gets to be the weird one and everyone else straight mans that one person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They take turns being the weird one.
I forget when I got distracted by the vacuuming. I remember what I was saying. So I texted these friends and my friends were coming back at me asking questions about the guy, just like, and Blanche, when David left and Blanche closed the door and there was this silent moment and she said, I don't want to talk about it. It was like, I know that reaction very intimately because it's like, there are those moments where sometimes you don't want to be asked questions about something.
It's too close to the skin.
Exactly.
You don't want to have to, like, just pushing into
let
it.
Let me feel it.
Right.
Like, let me just feel it for this moment and just be angry for me or be upset or be pissed or whatever. But just don't ask questions. And I get that. And Blanche has that where she kind of comes back into the room afterwards and she says, how could George cheat on me? And that is that level because she is a real beauty.
Right.
She's known for her beauty. She's known for her sexuality. She's known for... And she was almost relentlessly monogamous to him. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, especially given, you know, especially when we see, like, she could get it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if she was staying with you... You were lucky.
Well, and she has that where she says that she could have had an ankle on 60 Minutes, and then and then she leaves the room, and then Sophia, just without missing a beat, was like, "But it was Morley Safer,"
and everyone nods.
Everyone's like, "Yeah,
everyone nods.
That checks out. That feels right."
Definitely Morley Safer. There was a moment in the next scene where they come into the kitchen. You love the kitchen scenes because it's always like
well, the nighttime kitchen. Yep. I call them a pajama jammy jam.
It's like the middle segment where everything happens in the middle and they come into the kitchen. They have to talk about things.
It's always those
moments, and they're so perfect.
And I love it. I think I remember seeing on this show the first time I saw, which is like my favorite sitcom gag, which is when they have a giant cake on the table. Mm-hmm. It's like nighttime and they're sad and they cut a slice of cake and they put it on a plate. And then they pick up the rest of the cake on the tray. The idea that they're about to eat the whole cake and they just left a slice for someone else. And that was on This Is What I Saw for the First Time. And I remember being like, that's a good one. That's hilarious.
Here's a question. Do you think I learned how to emotionally eat by watching Golden Girls as a child?
I mean, I think so. Think about how common it is. It's like, not only is it you emotionally eat, but then you figure it out.
Do you emotionally eat? Are you an emotional eater?
Girl, you need to come. It is at our house.
I'm more of like a, when I get really upset, I don't want to eat.
Oh, I wish.
And I wish.
And I hear these things and I'm like, I wish.
I know. No. I mean, I'm still like, I got hips. Like, I eat, guys. Like,
she's
don't
had
worry.
To hide, if she has potato chips, she's had to hide them in other, like, rooms other than the kitchen.
Yeah.
So that
I
don't, like, get
I won't
them in
have
a moment
stuff like
of
that
weakness.
In the house. I can't.
Yeah.
The only weaknesses I can have is I can have fucking like basic as fuck chocolate. Like, we're talking extra dark, like little sugar,
90% cacao.
Yeah, basically. Ugh. And wine. I can have that, but that's like it. That's all I can have.
Yeah.
Maybe bread. but Blanche comes into the kitchen for this middle moment and she has a line that is probably one of the best lines in the series. I think she comes in and she looks gorgeous in this nightgown and she says, and I quote, I couldn't sleep. Oh, it must be from living with old people. Which is like perfect. And basically, they talk about why do men cheat? Why did George cheat? You know, and Rose says that Charlie never cheated on her. And
because of some rules in St. Olaf.
They were very strict
because
the divorce laws. You had to give the wife everything that didn't ferment or something.
By the way, is that typical? Yeah.
What?
Like that, like 90% of Rose's stuff was St. Olaf stories.
Oh,
is
mainly.
That,
yeah.
Right?
So yes. they that's all the writers were writing for her. They weren't like, we could just write a fun joke
in
there.
Of course they have some moments. Like, I mean, I think her Her reactions in the next scene is really good with the Sonny and Cher moments. She has some great physical moments there that are almost stealing the scene from Dorothy and Sophia a little bit.
Oh, those wide eyes.
Yes. Oh, my God. But they talk about why do men cheat. And towards the end of the scene, it gets to a point where Dorothy, who is almost the voice of reason in a lot of ways, because of all of the women, which I'm surprised they didn't go more into this, of all of the women in that room, Dorothy's the one who most intimately knows what it's like to be cheated on because her husband left her for another woman.
Right.
And that's the whole point of how she got into this house.
Right. Right.
And her whole story and Stan always being around and how Sophia always mocks her for getting knocked up and all these things. And I'm surprised Dorothy didn't parlay more information to Blanche in this moment, you know, about being cheated on and what it's like. But she didn't, and but she does.
Like they saw the show clock, and they're like, "Well, we don't have this much time for this act."
But they gave it to Rose. They gave that story to Rose. They gave that connection about being cheated on to Rose.
Because it pays off. Then
it does.
Well, right, always. But then I thought it was interesting though. They made Sophia's story being cheated on almost like the joke is twofold. The joke being that she's like, "Oh yeah, your father cheated on me," you know, and Dorothy's surprised. She's like, "Yeah, just because I was pregnant with your brother and gained 40 pounds and was crying all the time. He had a wandering eye." And it was almost like, "Oh, so we don't blame him?"
Oh, we blame him.
I was like, it sounds like
we blame him. I mean, in the last episode, Sophia has a line that he was masturbating for like a month or something. He was like masturbating all day. Yeah.
Was he edging?
I think.
Oh. Look at what he knows.
I know.
I can't leave him alone with the internet.
No, you can't.
I can't leave him alone with the internet edging. Get the fuck out of here.
But Dorothy does sum up men in two very good lines where she says there are two ways of explaining why men cheat. And this is her line where, and I think a past guest, I don't know if you guys watch Drag Race at all, but a past guest of ours, Alaska Thunderfuck, good friend of the podcast. She'll be on. So the next episode after this is the live episode where we watch the AIDS episode, the 72 hours.
Ooh.
And Alaska was a guest. And it is so much fun. And you guys definitely want to tune in next week for that. But Alaska, I think the last time she was on this podcast, she has a way of pronouncing this line. So Dorothy has this line in this scene where she says, "Men are victims of an evolutionary process." And the way she says process, I feel like Alaska has said that before. Process. But yeah, she has this like, she's explaining it, why she's, and then she says, and the second reason, and Blanche asks, what's the second reason? And she says, men are scum, which is like perfect.
Right.
The Valerie Solanas line.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so it cuts to the next scene.
It's a deep cut. Is anyone going to get that?
I mean, they will get it. Someone will. We have our listeners are meta as fuck, and they get violently angry when I like fuck up quotes because I'm known to fuck up quotes because I have other things happening in this brain to make it be amazing.
Hey, back off of H. Allen,
thank
guys.
You. I love you guys though. I just won't respond. Anxiety. But Rose is at the piano and Rose is playing, and out walks Sophia and she's dressed as Sunny. However. Rose thinks it's, what was his name? Danny Henning? Doug Henning.
Doug Henning. Henning. Doug Henning. Magician from the 70s.
I don't remember Doug Henning.
I don't know him.
He's like a pre-David Copperfield.
Oh, okay.
That helps.
No.
If that helps place him in
I mean, it helps understand
pop
who he
culture,
is.
And the pop culture sediment. The archaeology of
magic?
Yes.
Of pop magic? The pop magic history?
Pop magic world. Sounds like a Lady Gaga moment. And then she starts playing the music, and it's obviously I Got You Babe by Sonny and Cher. And
by the way, she sounds like the mom on All in the Family singing the theme song.
Yes.
Oh my God, the two of them singing. But
we have to build up Dorothy coming out.
Okay.
Sophia
starts singing. Or Sophia stands there.
Yeah, she comes out and she's looking hilarious in like this Fu Manchu mustache and her glasses.
Yes.
So I'm already like handling Sophia.
Yes.
And is like, "I'm the mayor of Palm Springs."
Yeah.
Or whatever. And she's like hilarious.
Yeah.
And then she goes up to the piano and Rose can't even.
She can't.
Rose is literally like
she's
her
like,
wide
like
her, she's
eyeing.
Like afraid. She's afraid.
It's
she's
crazy.
Almost like something's about to happen and she doesn't know what. Like she's afraid of being hit.
Yes.
Like that kind of like wide fear in her eyes. But she starts to play anyway. You know, they're really building it up. You're
well,
like,
because
okay,
they
give me
know
door.
What's they, coming. They know what's happening.
So they're like, okay, you send that we need to get that wide shot. We need to take in
Yes.
Dorothy's entrance.
Yes. Oh my God. Woo! Dorothy's wearing a costume outfit essentially of Cher, like of the Sonny and Cher days.
Yeah.
70s sort of long beaded things are happening.
Hair down to her butt.
Hair down to her butt. And Bea Arthur is committing to this moment on such a level. Now, Bea Arthur,
this is why I asked earlier. Is there some secret part of her that's like that, like wanted it?
Well, Bea Arthur, let's keep in mind and give respect where respect is due. Bea Arthur started in musical theater.
She is
a singer. She's a trained singer.
Dorothy, the psychology of the character, not of the actor who's playing the character. I'm talking about the.
No, I think that if Dorothy's going to do it because Dorothy's a boss. Like, she doesn't really want to do it, but she's going to do it. She's not going to do it badly.
No. She's not going to half-ass it.
Exactly. Like, okay. Dorothy is not... I think
she understands that middle area between caricature and actually doing it in a serious way. Like, she's finding that middle ground. She picked up on Cher's sort of, like, tongue thing.
Yes.
A little bit. Like, I like how she even struggled with the hair pull.
Right.
Or the hair flow back. Like, because it was in her way, and you could tell she had never had long hair in her life. She was just like, how do I do this?
Right. The difference between Wayne Campbell... Yes. And Austin Powers, right? Wayne Campbell.
That is such a straight boy reference.
What?
Wayne Campbell was inhabited. Mike Myers fully became Wayne Campbell.
But yes.
Austin Powers was just a skin that he put on, like Buffalo Bill.
What are you saying? Like, I'm not even here for you right now. I do choose to give you my heart, but I'm not here for you right now.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
So they sing the song, and then Rose just stops abruptly.
I mean, just only one verse in, which I thought was so...
With a crunch of the piano.
It's too close to home because it just reminds her of St. Olaf in the 60s. And Dorothy thinks, oh, college unrest, civil rights... You know,
Vietnam. You know, the 60s were a turbulent time.
The real things that were happening in the 60s. And then Rose says, opposite side parking. I mean, because apparently the people... Now, I don't get... What is opposite side parking?
Like street cleaning. So, like,
alternate
you don't park
side.
On the... Yeah, you don't park on the one side on, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays because of street cleaning.
But then I guess the problem was that no one knew which side was the opposite side.
They didn't get it.
Because they were like, well, every side's an opposite...
I
so what's
know
the side we're not supposed to? Everybody in St. Olaf is slow.
Yeah.
As you could tell, the fact that I was like, oh, this is just your people, Rose.
That's what
Rose
I'm saying.
Rose's whole vibe
was
that
the, one. Was the actual St. Olaf, was he a man who had been hit in that back of the head with a brick?
No, I think I think the city, the town of St. Olaf, probably did not get a lot of natural light.
Or was there a gas leak it's like Centralia.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so the coal fumes came up.
Illinois. There's a Centralia, Illinois, I think.
Oh, yeah. The one in Pennsylvania where there's a coal fire that's been burning for decades.
Oh, yes. I met a man who did a documentary about that. At the Soho House. Very
Ooh.
Fancy.
Oh, my God. You're the second person who mentioned Soho House today.
It's
I can't with Los Angeles. I know
fancy.
It's fancy.
It's very fancy.
You have to, like, be a member.
Yeah, I got invited. I'm definitely not a member.
you can just walk in, by the way, and say you're with someone.
No.
I think
they got to call that person to come
like
get you.
Sorry. Thing.
Noia House. Here's the tip about Noia House. You can walk in, and as long as you say you know
Noia?
The person.
Yeah. I know Lola. So to cap this Sonny and Cher moment, so Blanche walks in and Blanche says, oh, look at these cute characters. Which one's Cheech and which one's Chong? Which is a foreshadowing to the spinoff to the Golden Girls, the Golden Palace,
mm-hmm.
where Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong fame played the cook on the Golden Palace. Now, I had this is how you can tell I was not a stoner kid. I didn't ever do anything. I'm not a huge stoner in general, but I had to look up which one was Cheech and which one was Chong.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that Cheech had the same name as Cheech,
right.
the character.
Right.
I didn't
get
that. I didn't know that.
Has anyone ever done Cheech Marin, which would be a mashup between Cheech and Marc Maron?
I think you should do it, honey. That's your next podcast.
Wait, guys, wait. I think Carrie has something to say about the Sonny and Cher moment because this whole B plot, because I feel like Carrie is known in this podcast for being CSI a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, even though she's not here, I can feel her flipping out.
Oh my
about
God, I can't
this.
Wait. I need to know the facts.
I'm feeling it.
Guys, oh my God, I could watch Dorothy and Sophia as Sonny and Cher forever. Like, I would I would love a spinoff show of just Dorothy and Sophia dressing up as like different duets or like the Osmonds or the Bee Gees and just singing. I could watch hours and hours of that. I love, love, love this moment so much. And you guys know, like, I love a good beauty pageant talent show episode of a show. I was really hoping we were going to get to see the beauty pageant, maybe see the Donatella triplets, but like, that's fine. I also really hope that Cher appreciates the shit out of Bea Arthur dressing up like her and doing a flawless Cher, I Got You, Babe. It was so, so amazing. I also thought it was funny that Blanche thinks that they're Cheech and Chong. That was hilarious, but like there's a whole other meta layer to that because obviously Cheech Marin ends up being the cook in the Golden Palace, which is pretty, pretty funny. And then later when they're dressed in those gold matching dresses, I mean, when I think, you know, when Dorothy says, I look like the mother of a solid gold dancer, to me in that moment, Sophia is literally the mother of a solid gold dancer, and she is also a solid gold dancer.
Wow. Of course. Yes.
This wow. one.
I mean, obviously. She, I mean, if, she, if only she were here.
Oh my God, she's a real David Caruso.
She's
a real David Caruso. She really is.
I'm sorry that she has smallpox.
Oh God! So now Rose and smallpox. I just got that. You literally, because I'm trying to do two jobs here. I can't focus on my
You're
guest.
Doing great. Though.
Oh
You're doing God. Great.
Carrie,
You're doing
where are
great.
You? I don't take notes. so stressed. No. So she, Rose and Blanche have a moment now. This is where Rose has to admit something that Charlie did cheat on her. And she tells the story about Charlie coming home late one night and how he couldn't see and he stopped. And
he ran out of gas. He knocked on a farmer's door.
The farmer said, yes, you can stay here, but you have to sleep with my daughter. And he did. And then, you know, if only there had been lights outside, street lights, he would have known he was only two houses down from where he lived with Rose. And felt bad about it. Felt really bad about it. And Blanche, I'm surprised Blanche is actually listening to this story like she's listening to a 5-year-old talk about how he got a boo-boo. You know what I mean? Where Blanche is like, well, that must have really hurt. And it's like, Blanche has never taken Rose this seriously until next week's episode when Rose might have AIDS. That is the only time she has ever taken her seriously. And so...
And the Rose played on.
Oh, hell no.
Ka-da-boom, ching.
Can I just add, I think maybe when you were asking why didn't Dorothy do the...
Yeah.
And I said it pays off later, but also I think maybe they wanted to give Rose some kind of humanizing moment.
Yes,
because they always play her as like the dummy.
It's true. But so, she gets an AIDS episode in the next episode. What more humanizing does she need?
Maybe they had an A room and a B room and they were each writing and so they weren't paying attention to what the other room was writing.
She does end it in a very funny way where she says that she was so angry that she didn't make strudel for a year and Blanche is like,
that don't sound so bad.
And Rose says, that was our nickname for sex.
Ooh, well, you really were mad.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
But she says something that I think is really poignant, where she's like, don't blame basically George's memory for a mistake. You know, a mistake that he, on many levels, owned up to. He paid for the kid. He did what a father
really
should
season
do.
Season 2 bloodlined it.
Yeah.
Cool. Season 2 bloodlined it.
I don't even know what that means, but it just sort of... I know it means
Bloodline on Netflix.
I know it means something.
Streaming now on Netflix. Season 3 soon.
So it's the next day, and it's the night of the pageant, right? And it's the big pageant. Dorothy and Sophia, they come out. They look great. They're wearing some sort of gold
thing. Silver gowns.
Is it silver or gold?
I thought it was gold. It was like Tina Turner.
No, it looks gold
Turner?
To me.
Tina Turner.
I was trying to say Tina Turner, and I wanted to say it so badly. I'm like, Tina Turner. It was like Tina Turner. It was very Pointer Sisters. How's that?
Except it was way baggier. It was like seven Pointer Sisters outfits.
Right. It was like...
in one.
A lot of like... I wanted it... Because at first I thought they were jumpsuits, but they weren't. They were dresses. Yeah. Just like long... But then I always felt like, why do you always give Dorothy all these shoulder pads when she's naturally broad?
Yeah.
I relate to that struggle. And I'm always like, take them out. I know it's like the 1990. I know we're still doing shoulder pads, but if you're naturally broad, no, you don't.
Yeah, you don't need it.
You don't need it.
You don't.
So they all get ready to leave. They're all leaving, and David comes over. And David is in the same clothes he wore 3 days ago.
David is Duck Phillips. I don't know if we said that
yes,
already.
David does not change clothes.
David is Duck Phillips.
Duck Phillips from Mad Men. Yeah. As a young man with a questionable Southern accent.
Yeah, with a moose knuckle.
Out of like a
regional Tennessee Williams play.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And he's just like, that.
Regional production.
And he just, and he comes back and is just like, can you tell me about my daddy?
Yeah.
And I just kind of felt like.
He does make a good point about it. He's like, I know you can be angry, but that doesn't change the fact that he is my father.
Right.
Which,
right.
I mean, Blanche can't fight that.
Right.
You know, it's true. Like.
But then I still felt that she actually kind of got on board way too fast.
You think so?
That's like, this is where I'm like, it is tricky in a half hour show to try to have these heavy emotional moments.
Yeah.
Because I sort of was like, this is like really, not just to agree, but you know, she ends up showing him pictures.
Yeah.
And then even gives him a picture.
Yeah.
Which I
well,
thought.
Well, let's get into that. So okay. Blanche kind of comes around and she says that he served in Korea and that he was the top of his class and that he was very charming.
At Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and he was athletic and the ladies loved him. And then she has a beat.
Clearly.
Apparently so.
Apparently
actually,
so.
Actually, if you misquote, I've learned they get very
I'm so
angry.
Sorry. Apparently so. Oh, my God. Apparently so, guys.
And so they sit down to
Naomi,
look at the
we're
scrapbook.
We're going to get death threats. What are you doing?
Golden death threats. Oh I mean, God. It'll probably be the highlights of your careers, guys. Like, yeah, it'll be like, someone wants to kill me. I actually, I've thought about this for years. Speaking of stalking and David, when Blanche thought David was stalking him, I always thought it would be cool to have a stalker. Not like in a scary stalker way, but like in like a, oh, I just want to see you all the time way.
Yeah, I used to think that too.
So you mean you just want someone who's thirsty for you?
Yes. I used to think that
in the same way, but then whenever someone did, I was like, what's wrong with you?
Because you actually had stalked. I've
never
had
like
a stalker,
but like a guy where it's like, call me, I want to see you do that. And I remember, of course, when I was so desperado, it was like, that's all I want. But then you get it, and I realize like, when someone's that way before you've even, they really know you.
Yeah.
I'm like, ew.
I have a lot of
guys. You don't even know me well enough to be that excited. I don't know what you're about.
I have a lot of people who I think digitally stalk me.
Oh, of course.
In a way that.
With their fingers?
But. They only touch me with their iPhone. Just like, you like it. I can tell by, I mean, you can always tell if someone is sort of like, you know, checking up on your game when they like a picture from like months ago of you with your shirt off or something.
Who's the dude, some freak creeped into Naomi's Instagram account, just liked all of her pictures one day.
Well, what's wrong with that? Very intense. I mean, but it was so random. I was like, who are you?
Yeah.
And then what I hate the most about that on Insta, right? He does that. I go to click. His account's private.
I hate that.
I think once you come up in my space, I should be allowed to see who you are.
Nothing pisses me off more than if someone attaches an Instagram profile to a dating profile, and then you go to that profile, and it's a blocked private Instagram. Go fuck yourself. Right. I'm not following this piece of shit Instagram.
Exactly.
Just because you think, you're on this Tinder game just to get Instagram followers. Fuck you and your Disneyland gay pic. Hate you. Every gay man has a Disneyland pic, and I'm ready for the end. I'm ready for all these people to die. I'm sorry. I like Disneyland, but I want all of them
but
to go away.
To get into- was I hot and cold when we first started?
What do you mean?
I'm trying to remember. I would be like you'd see me in line at like UCB or something. I'd just like give you a head nod or something.
Right.
Ooh, you're kind of playing cool.
Well, yeah, we weren't even dating yet. Once we started dating, you were like real chill.
Really?
Even though like, meaning like there were no games, but he was still so emotionally repressed. It was like, do you like me? Mm-hmm. And he didn't have a job,
had to wait
right?
for therapy until we, until those emotional floodgates opened.
Yeah.
We have to stay back at the episode because we have to go back to the Tennessee Williams play.
Well, so they're sitting down looking at a scrapbook.
Yes.
And what was so interesting was every photo that meant anything was on the first page of the scrapbook.
I love that it was right there, too, right behind the couch.
Literally, yeah.
The George scrapbook.
George and first page.
Page one.
Literally, the scrapbook has no other photos. It is only on the first page.
But I thought it was so great. Like, literally, he comes in, though. But here's my thing. This is why I felt like it was a play. He walks in before she gets the, you know, pictures. And the first thing he goes, did my father like to fish? And it's just like, what? And she's like... I always wondered, you know.
Did daddy like to catch crawdads?
And it was just like, okay, hi, how are you? And
did you guys ever go fishing with your parents?
No.
Did you?
JCC camp took us once a summer. We would go fishing. I was always freaked out that I would get that I would cast the hook and it would go in my eye.
That happened to me.
It didn't happen to my neck. Anxious.
Yeah.
Wait, it happened to your neck?
It really happened?
At a lake, yeah. Someone, I don't know who it was, like casted a fish line or whatever, however the terminology
is. Cast a fish line, yeah.
And it went into my fucking neck.
That's my fucking neck.
And literally everyone freaked out and I was like, I was of course very upset, but I was also like, you did that on
who was it? Was it your Gladys Goldfein?
It was like a friend. It was like a stupid. I mean,
it wasn't your Gladys Goldfein.
It was a fucking stupid kid in class who, like, oh god, I hate. His name was Sam, and I think he said his father went to the moon.
Oh my god, what a liar!
I know, what a fucking piece of shit liar. Anyway, so she comes around, and her and David have a moment, and she gives him a picture. Eventually.
Right, she gets him have a picture.
So cuts to. They come home because Blanche now stayed home because she had to deal with David.
I was like, I'm on my way somewhere. Come back. Yeah. But she was nice about it.
Yeah, she was good. And they come home. And who won the Shady Pines mother-daughter beauty pageant? And you're led to think that it was Dorothy and Sophia, but it's not actually. It's not at all. Rose,
in the comedy game, it's called misdirection.
Yes.
They were runners-up, though.
They were runners-up to, I forget the names, but 98 and 77.
So they got a pretty good shot.
If one of them kicks, Dorothy and Sophia are on it. But they did defeat Gladys Goldfein.
That's what matters. You know, that's what matters.
But Sophia's not so happy about it because she's like, Gladys has lost her game, you know, because age is...
She's not a worthy adversary anymore.
Fucked with her game, but
her brain is riddled with dementia.
Andrew!
She does. It was funny that Dorothy is talking about Gladys, which this gets to that joke. Dorothy is talking about Gladys, and she's like, she's saying, tried to remember from the Fantastics, and she forgot. And it's
oh, right. She's like, she started with tried to remember and couldn't.
Yeah.
Or something. And you were just like, no, that's a good one.
And then Rose.
The writing is so tight.
Oh, that was
tight.
A solid.
The
writing Joss Whedon's is tight. Pappy is on point.
On point with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Rose suggests cheesecake, and Sophia's like, the Shady Pines Circus is coming up. Why would a retirement home have a circus?
That was my also first thought.
Yes. Well, in my mind, it's like The Simpsons. Like, Shady Pines has a kind of flexible reality, and so whatever they want to do there, they'll do there, because it's always off camera.
Anything can happen, yeah.
Just like St. Olaf.
Except for, there is one episode where Shady Pines is seen, I think.
Really?
I think. She has to go back to Shady Pines or something.
Is it like an M.C. Escher, like, guys, crazy world of, like,
correct?
Weird...
No, it's like, it's a rundown place. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm talking to you guys listening.
Right, listeners, because we can't.
You can't.
I can't correct you.
You can't answer this.
I don't know. But
do they revisit Shady Pines? I think they do. I could be wrong. Anyway,
call in to 555 gold and let us know.
Oh, we should get that. So all the ladies leave to go to the kitchen to have this cheesecake binge, and Blanche is sitting there, and she pulls out this one picture again of George, or just one picture. Mm-hmm. She looks at him, and she's like, "Oh, George!" Like, she's angry at it,
right?
But then she says, and it's probably one of the better callbacks of a Golden Girls episode ever. She's like, and I could have had Andy Rooney, which is a 60 Minutes callback to. So it wasn't Morley Safer.
It wasn't Morley Safer.
That's a patient joke, by the
way.
That
is.
Yeah.
It's a really, I think this was a very smartly written episode.
Oh, very.
Well, they're always so smart. I also, again, too, we were talking about the whole idea of taking time and breathing.
Yeah.
Most shows don't assume people remember anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because that was literally probably,
I don't know. They set
exactly,
that up in
Act
1.
Pay it off as
the button of the episode.
Of the episode, but it's like, they don't even take that risk anymore.
No.
You know? Because they're like, well, I don't know. People were paying attention. They were probably playing Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Soda.
So they, Candy Crush soda.
Specifically.
You're correct.
That's
so
funny.
So it was a really, like, it was an emotional journey.
That was the episode, though.
It was
that
so
was it.
Good.
Yeah.
Wait, Andy, do you want to... H. Allen, we wrote a mini theme song.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
I know you guys have a theme song already.
Right.
We do.
But I was getting ready this morning. I started singing.
And this is such an appropriate episode for someone to perform a song.
We were inspired. We were definitely inspired by B. Arthur.
Together? We'll sing it together?
Sure.
do you need a thing?
Yeah, we need a middle C.
Me.
I don't know how to do this.
Ready?
Yeah.
Out on the lanai, where the chairs are folding and the girls are golden.
Are golden.
I mess up the tune. Okay.
I liked it.
I
liked it.
Out on the lanai, where the chairs are folding and the girls are golden.
We're gonna have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it.
Yay!
Feel free to put music behind that. Feel free to
I might close the show with that. I might take that little bit and close the show with it, guys.
Guys, okay, so at the end of every episode, we have a golden takeaway. It's a nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your lives or the lives of our listeners. Mm-hmm. I will start to give you sort of an example. My golden takeaway is, God, I'm glad I'm gay, because I don't ever, ever, ever have to worry about an accidental child. I never in my life, I might have to worry about, you know, an accidental STD, but like those things you talk about once and you never have to talk to the person again.
Right.
Whereas
right.
a child keeps popping up because they have like thoughts and feelings and voices and shit.
And need like school tuition.
God. So I am so glad that I am gay.
Yeah.
That's my golden takeaway.
My takeaway would definitely be, you know, if somebody come to your house saying they selling something but don't got the thing to sell.
Question.
They probably gonna kill you. Nothing good gonna happen. Nothing good gonna happen. If somebody looking at you in the grocery store, don't try to talk to them.
No.
Okay?
No.
You got to look alive. You got to be aware. These are four single girls.
That's a Wendy call out, too. You're basically saying, watch out for the killer.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Well, Naomi is such a true crime fanatic.
Are you? I didn't know this about you.
Oh, my God.
You know about my other life, don't you?
No.
I host this with Margot Lightman, a podcast called Talking Crime, where we essentially solve mysteries and crimes.
Oh, my God. That's like my dream.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm a lady detective.
Yeah.
What's your takeaway, Andy?
Andy.
Forgiveness. Me. Now.
Oh, that's sweet.
Blanche, she was the victim of the ultimate betrayal.
I feel like you're going to
which
cry.
Is betrayal of the heart, betrayal of the soul,
the ultimate
betrayal of the libido.
Betrayal of the libido.
Is that the ultimate, though?
It's part
of it.
All three of them.
All three of them are the ultimate. What if you're really craving cereal and you go and you find out that Naomi finished it and she just left the box there? Like, that's the betrayal. That's the ultimate betrayal.
Well, look, it's the Voltron of betrayal, right? It's the three pieces that form together.
Wow, I did not know that reference, okay.
I didn't even know it was a reference. That's how much I didn't know the reference. I didn't know it was a reference. Okay. What's Voltron?
By the way, remember when Mike Myers played...
We're the worst audience for all of your... We are the
half
last
of the things
people.
You said.
I did that. I know. On purpose.
I know.
Ow, he poked me in the nipple.
That's how I try to keep him in line, ladies. Make a mental note.
Forgiveness. But here's the thing. I do, yes. So the denouement was rushed. You are right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she would not, her emotions would not have turned on that dime if this had been a Netflix series where she was allowed to.
Bloodline season three
uh-huh. coming
wow.
soon.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Wow.
If she had been allowed to really like feel her feelings and kind of like process it.
Right.
Andy.
But.
But go ahead.
But the ultimate. Girl, I didn't rush you when you were going through your lesson.
That's correct.
I feel like this non-married couple is about to have a conversation.
We prefer almost married.
Almost married. I hope I'm invited.
Hey, sure. if you want to pay us the money for the wedding.
I'm ordained. Yeah.
Love that.
I could do that for you.
Or Dane Cook.
Hey. Oof, guys.
Oof. So forgiveness. Sorry. Anyway, the point is,
yes.
I think everyone here can look at the people who have wronged them in their lives and like Jesus once said, forgive them.
You are a Jew quoting Jesus. I think this is a time where you just need to stop.
Forgive them, my Father, for they know not what they do.
Was that
and
Jesus?
That's Blanche.
Was that Jesus?
Yes.
Was that
forgive
Jesus?
Them.
You don't know Jesus.
You don't know Jesus.
And Blanche was just like Jesus. She's the Jesus of this episode.
She's the Jesus of this episode. That is correct. That is correct.
Stigmata. Wow, guys, this has been a fun episode. It really has.
Yeah.
So much fun. And we got a theme song out of it. I mean, how exciting. Is that
you're gonna cut that out and just like throw it on the
I'm gonna throw it at the end. I'm gonna throw it on the bumper. It's gonna be the end.
Oh, I was gonna say on the cutting room floor.
No, it's gonna be there. Oh, I don't edit shit. We don't edit shit.
Oh, you don't?
We put it all in. Everything's in. they are in for this ride, our listeners. Oh. So where can people follow you guys on the interwebs?
Oh, me? All right. Instagram and Twitter at Andy Beckerman. I have two podcasts of my own. Beginnings, a very serious interview podcast about performers' childhoods.
Nice.
And Snap Impressions, a very silly podcast. It's a game show where comedians have to compete to do off-the-cuff impressions.
Oh.
It's live at UCB in New York.
What's the last one called?
Snap Impression. Live at UCB in New York once a month.
Nice. You guys should check that out. Naomi?
You can find me on Twitter at Blacktress. Yeah. And on Facebook and Instagram at Blacktress Comedy. Because some girl took Blacktress on both of those platforms. Gosh.
Would you call her a trifling bitch?
Probably.
Oh my God.
And
what's going on with you? Anything popping? Anything people should look for?
No.
You should watch her Comedy Central half
Comedy
hour.
Comedy Central half hour.
Oh, okay.
You forgot you had a Comedy Central half hour.
No, I like forget to.
You can watch it online on the Comedy Central app.
Yeah.
Or cc.com.
He's your manager, isn't he?
He's much better at it. I forget.
Well, guys. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything. You can follow me there. And thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
We miss Carrie, too. I'm sorry Carrie couldn't be here for this.
I know.
She's got the pox.
She's got the pox, you know.
But she still brought so much to the table.
She did. We had those epiphany moments with Carrie. It's like she was in the room, but she was so far away because we're not about to get sick. And guys, if you are liking what you are hearing, you can go to outonthelanai.com for all kinds of GG fun. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast and on Twitter at Golden Girls Pod. And if you like what you're hearing, you want to maybe support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com or no, don't go there. You can go to outonthelanai.com/donate. That's what you can do. And you can set up a one-time donation or a monthly donation. And remember, next week we will be listening to the live episode, the 72 hours. Mm. Very exciting. Very, very exciting. Carrie wasn't sick for that. She's definitely going to be there for that. And it's with Alaska Thunderfuck, and Elliot Glazer makes an appearance. Ooh. And it is a fun episode. Ooh. Yeah, you guys are really going to like that. So keep an eye out for that, or an ear out, I should say, because it's a podcast, not visual. And thank our guests, follow our guests on everything, because they are just incredible. And all together now, you guys don't know this, but we say stay golden. Okay, ready? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Stay golden!
Cue the new theme song.
Out on the night where the chairs are folding and the girls are golden.
We're gonna have a good time.
Oh, yeah!